corridor area and that is subject to flooding, so that would only be the available land. About two-thirds, the rest would then go to the natural habitat restoration.
Thank you, Mayor.
And there's setback for flood control there as well as part of that redevelopment. Yes.
So we heard testimony, and there's also written testimony from the Palhurst-Gilbert neighborhood about expanding the urban renewal area further east on from 122nd east further east on Holgate. Why did we not take that into consideration?
It's a good question. It's something we talked about to them when we presented last April. We were by fault very conservative in the number of acres we were looking at. We wanted to not set expectations too much. We set expectations very high back in 1980 of what we were going to deliver. We delivered some things. We haven't delivered others. So we wanted to maintain the focus on the town center, but also look at some opportunity sites. So Foster Corridor was one, I think, is kind of a, in my opinion, a slam dunk. But these other opportunity areas are going to be a little bit more difficult to turn around. So we concentrated on some key intersections. We know we've got lots of vehicle trips, lots of visibility. It'll be a high-impact area for the community. So concentrate those resources in certain areas. We did not want to extend it too far. Bob can probably talk about this a little bit more, but we have a citywide limit of 15%, and we did not want to sort of take up all the acreage in Lentz because we have 10 other districts that are going to be looking at their futures as well through the future of urban renewal process. Did you want to add to that?
The total limit by state law is 15% of the city, so we're before we started this amendment process, we were about 850 acres. We have roughly 700 acres left. So I think we're just being
before cautious. This amendment or after this amendment?
After.
700?
Right. The average size of a community-based urban renewal district, by the way, is about 1,500 acres. Downtown, it's roughly 300 acres. So I think there was some concern, and that's why we actually took right-of-way out of I-405 in order to help that overall, right. 205, to help that overall number.
So I guess I need to ask, and if this may be a question for our legal counsel at this point, but if this council wants to include that area of Holgate, East 122nd, do we have the authority to do that, amend it?
I think that's a question of legal counsel. I'm not sure.
Are we way too far down the road? I guess, you know, what strikes me as a little ironic is, as we're going to see in subsequent presentations on the River District, and, you know, we draw those lines pretty willingly, I'd say, to accommodate projects or where we think things are going to go. And this seems like a pretty small, innocuous request to add a few blocks of Holgate east of 122nd. So I'm kind of looking at the parity equity issue on this one. So maybe I'll get an answer from Harry in a few minutes, but okay. I guess that's what we're here for. I mean,
right.
Part of our role, I guess, is to approve this, and implicitly to me is the ability to amend.
The short answer, Commissioner Salzman, is that in order to do it, you'd have to go back through the same process as a plan amendment.
We'd have to do the whole public re-notification of every
I believe so. We'd be happy to look into that and give you the details, but that's by initial reading of the statute, yes.
David Ellett, PDC Interim General Counsel, I think that's correct. We would probably need to take that back through the process initially to the Portland Development Commission for approval, then through the Planning Commission, and then back to you.
So it wouldn't necessarily require – it would require the citywide notice to the
Probably. I mean, we'd have to look at the significance of the change, but probably it would require the super notice as well.
Well, yeah, if you could take a look at that, and we'll talk more about it.
Other questions? Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Item A12 is a non-emergency ordinance, and it moves to a second reading next Wednesday. Please, Carla, please read items 813, 814, and 815 together.
813, approve the 28th amendment to the downtown waterfront urban renewal plan to remove 47.03 acres from the plan area and standardize planned amendment process. 814 approved the 10th Amendment to the South Park Block's Urban Renewal Plan to remove 3.20 acres from the plan area and standardize plan amendment process. 815 approved the amended and restated River District Urban Renewal Plan to expand boundaries by a net 41.98 acres, increase maximum indebtedness by approximately $325 million, and extend expiration date to June 30, 2021. On 816, approve the First Amendment to the amended and restated.
Excuse me, just through 15?
That was 815.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you want 816?
No.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. To introduce items 813, 14, and 15, we have Board of Development Commissioner Charles Wilhoit and County Commissioner Jeff Kogan.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Salzman, Commissioner Fish, welcome aboard. I am Charles Wilhoit, PDC Commissioner, and I had the honor of serving as the co-chair with former Commissioner Eric Sten of the Urban Renewal Advisory Group. And I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to come before you today to talk about these significant and important amendments that will have the potential impact of continuing to alter the landscape of Portland and our downtown area for years to come. On that committee was also Commissioner Salzman, Commissioner Kogan sitting to my right from Multnomah County. We had John Cruz, who was a citizen representative, and we had Don Hansen from the Planning Bureau, and we also had Chair Rosenbaum. And as you know, that particular committee's charge arose from the Joint Budget Committee that related to the formation of the June 30, 08 budget of the PDC. And during that budget committee process, we noted that the downtown waterfront and South Park Block's urban renewal areas were set to expire, meaning that we would hit the date where no debt could be issued after that date. So looking at that circumstance, we were charged with the responsibility of looking at urban renewal in the downtown area. And that committee sat through, as Chair Rosenbaum mentioned earlier this morning, roughly 10 months of meetings. We had 9 specific meetings. We had individuals coming in, speaking to us, representing jobs and the economy, arts and higher education, infrastructure, including parks, transportation and energy, and urban planning and policy. And our goal was to look specifically at urban renewal in the downtown areas with regard to the South Park Blocks, the downtown waterfront, and the River District. And of course, there are constituents throughout the city who have visions regarding what should happen with regard to those urban renewal areas and the use of increment financing going forward. And as we entered that process, we did consider many of the things that you've heard talked about today. That was our charge. The mission of PDC is to focus on development of housing. And Commissioner Fish, you emphasized the 30% set aside. That was one of the items that was guiding us during our process. We also looked at general development and economic development. And I remember the initial meetings in that process, and our initial reaction was we have done very well with regard to urban renewal, urban development in the city of Portland, through the direction of the council and the implementation of PDC. Is it time to shut down certain urban renewal areas? And as we got further into the process, we realized that the success that we had achieved led us to realize that we had significant things that yet needed to be accomplished. And some of those items included preserving affordable housing in the South Park blocks, certain investments in retail and other economic activities. We also had the opportunity to look at the post office, a project that has been considered for some 20 years, and we had to factor all of those thoughts into our consideration, as well as tax jurisdictions and the dollars that were being forfeited. And we heard that quite a bit, and there's been a discussion that it was not considered enough. I will tell you that Commissioner Kogan's presence on that committee and other parties who came in and talked to us made it clear that that was something we had to consider for our decision-making. And at the end of the day, it boiled down to decision-making with regard to limited resources and unlimited demands, almost. And as we concluded our process, we looked at the critical projects that remained to be completed, Old Town Chinatown and certain investments in workforce housing and economic development. There was just a long list of items that yet needed to be completed so that we can continue the growth and development and advancement of Portland. And that was, in a nutshell, the key issue we were facing. So when all was said and done, we determined that there were critical projects, critical investments that needed to be completed in order to complete the planning that has been established in the Portland plan and that has been laid out with regard to Portland Development Commission while considering the taxing jurisdictions. And I'm here today to urge you to support these amendments because all other things considered, I don't think anyone in the city can say that the impact of Portland Development Commission through the city's guidance is not favorable and positive with regard to downtown Portland. And we can't ever come to the conclusion that we can be done with investment. Coming from a business perspective, investment is constant and required in order to maintain what we have and advance our position. And that's really what we're talking about. We're facing economic downturn right now in the country that's slowly coming through Portland, and we're feeling it. And that's not the time to stop making investments in our future. And that's really what we're talking about. And because we completed that process, considering housing development, economic development, taxing jurisdictions, we brought the county to the table. Other parties will come to the table in the future. We can't pause or stop on our development activities because they will cost us much more down the road. And in my 2 years at PDC, I have yet to see a project come before me that started 2 or 3 years ago and staff smiling at us as they're recommending it to us saying, oh, by the way, it's cheaper. That's not going to happen. So once again, I'm encouraging you to support these amendments. We have work that remains to be done, and that will help advance the city of Portland. Thank you.
Good morning again, Mayor, Commissioners. Jeff Kogan from Multnomah County. PDC Commissioner Wilhoit mentioned, I did serve as the county's representative on the Westside Advisory Group that considered the three agenda items we're now discussing. And I'd like to say that Mr. Wilhoit did a very terrific job of synthesizing what was a long, detailed plan. And I do agree with his characterization of both the level of analysis, the balancing, and the very cooperative, collaborative approach that process entailed. As I mentioned before, Multnomah County does support these plan amendments, and we believe that they balance the needs of the community while fighting blight with smart, targeted investments. But before we delve into the bigger picture presentation of these plan amendments, I wanted to briefly draw your attention to a letter that I have submitted to you today, which is going to be passed out right now, on behalf of myself and Multnomah County Chair Ted Wheeler. This letter outlines some of the reasons that the plan amendments before you conform within an established urban renewal law to work cooperatively with partner jurisdictions, fight central city blight, and protect public and private investments on the downtown bus mall. The River District plan amendments propose to do, among other things, investments in two buildings of particular interest to Multnomah County. The first is the McCoy Building at Southwest Stark Street and Fifth Avenue. And the second is the Lincoln Building at Southwest Oak Street and Fifth Avenue. The plan amendments would bring those into the River District. A third Multnomah County building, the Meade Building at Southwest Fifth and Washington, is already located in the River District Urban Renewal Area. All three of these buildings are located on three blocks smack dab in the middle of the downtown bus mall. This is an area in which local governments are currently investing hundreds of millions of dollars, being matched by even more investment by the private sector to combat blight and promote a vital central city. This particular portion of the bus mall is among the weakest and most blighted. Specifically, these three buildings require significant seismic, interior, and exterior upgrades, and therefore meet the legal definition of blight. The Meade Building is currently within the River District Urban Renewal Area, which is by definition blighted. The McCoy and Lincoln are located directly adjacent to the River District. The McCoy and Meade buildings are in need of either major renovation or demolition. Both are at serious risk in a major seismic event, and every major building system in both buildings is substantially beyond their useful normal life. This endangers the general public as well as Multnomah County employees. They're also unsightly, decrepit, and contribute to the blight of the surrounding neighborhood. The Lincoln Building is actually two buildings, one built in 1895, another in 1950. It requires a major seismic upgrade for safety and extensive street-level renovations to conform with the city's plan for the bus mall. Although there is no legal requirement that work done in an urban renewal area be for the exclusive benefit of that area's residents, a significant number of the clients who will be obtaining services at the McCoy Health Clinic are known by the department to live downtown, including in the River District. And there are likely to be other social services provided to neighborhood residents as well if these plan amendments are adopted. In conclusion, Multnomah County's intentions are to work within urban renewal law and to do our part to combat central city blight. We're pleased to be able to partner with the City of Portland PDC to clean up the downtown bus mall and as a consequence provide safer, upgraded buildings for the county's employees to work in and for the downtown community to access services, to place valuable downtown real estate back on the tax rolls, and to remove impediments to economic development along the bus mall. And we encourage you to support these plan amendments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, and now I'm going to take over the one. I wanted to thank Commissioner Wilhoit and Commissioner Kogan. It was a very long process, and it was very well done in terms of the collaborative nature of it and the scope that was undertaken. Commissioner Wilhoit needs to catch a plane in a few minutes, so he may be scooting out in a few moments. And Bob Alexander will be joining me to carry you through the rest of this presentation. Just to reinforce Commissioner Wilhoit's note about the meeting schedule, in addition to this, in those packets is a one-page summary of the Urban Renewal Advisory Group's recommendations. What we brought today to enter into the record, though, is the completed report, just because it does give you more context and background on the tough decisions and trade-offs that the advisory group made and why they did it. So add to your pile of paper. Now I'm going to turn it over to Bob to look to give you an idea about how we're closing out the two older districts.
So the first of those two closeout strategies related to the downtown waterfront, we have the 28th Amendment before you. What that amendment does, in addition to the South Park Blocks Amendment, would be to close these districts out by their 2008 date, which originally was recommended for extension by the Budget Committee 2 years ago. After the URAG examined those issues, determined that they should not be extended beyond 2008. These districts expired in April. South Park Blocks will expire in July. The second issue with these two, Downtown Waterfront and South Park Blocks, is that they would likely shrink in two phases. The first phase is before you now, which would be certain properties that would be added to the River District to complete important projects that need to be done. The second is an intentional downsizing as part of a search for potential new urban renewal district, and that's something to be done into the future. It is not contemplated as part of this particular ordinance before you today. Related to that issue was a question of can we pay for the existing bonds with the amount of assessed value we have. AMBAC is the bond insurance company that we use, the city uses. And they have agreed to shrink up to 40% of each one of these two districts according to their assessed value. They say that can go up to 40% and still pay back the city bonds. So that's the reason for this two-part shrinkage, if you will. The issue related to the 2008 closeout date of Downtown Waterfront, as the slide shows, you'll get approximately $50 million to finish projects that are there currently. Those include important projects such as the Ankeny-Burnside redevelopment, the Saturday Market move, and affordable housing. Ouija Maya is also one of those, and I think there will be a letter and testimony related to the creation of this Oriental Supermarket in the downtown waterfront area. So in conclusion on the downtown waterfront ordinance, this would remove about 47 acres from this district. Related to the South Park Blocks strategy, I've mentioned many of those things already. It will allow about 35 to 40 million in additional debt to finish core projects, which would include the retail core improvements. Those are basically direct loans to retailers to attract new or retain key destination retailers. This is for tenant improvement within the area. Urban renewal funds are restricted to so-called bricks and mortar improvements. So this would assist those retailers in cleaning up and addressing their business needs. Second is the affordable housing that would be done, and that's the primary purpose, frankly, of the South Park Block's additional, the last part of the strategy. It would include helping approximately five different projects for a total of about 305 housing units within the South Park Block's area. And finally, this ordinance would remove about 3.2 acres to be included into River District. So those are the two ordinances before you.
On that last point, and it's a good segue into why we looked at adding property to the main body of the urban of River District, is that the city's no net loss policy for the downtown area requires us to preserve all Section 8 projects and, in fact, all affordable housing downtown. PDC is charged with that responsibility. In order to take advantage of the opportunities and challenges that the expiration of the Section 8 projects that are coming up in the next 5 years bring to us, we needed to make sure that the closeout resources in South Park blocks were available to dedicate to these preservation projects. And we will have a plan shortly to show how over the next 5 years we actually have a plan to preserve each of those facilities if the owner does in fact opt out of the project. So this is a safety net for us to get that piece of the no net loss project done. What it did is require us though to look at other priority projects within South Park blocks and to determine what needed to go into River District. But let me first tell you about what in River District still needs to get done. The first slide that just faded out really quickly was Centennial Mills. This is a parcel that we acquired with the Bureau of Environmental Services some years ago when the original plan was to daylight Tanner Creek and create a water feature on the waterfront. That turned out not to be feasible. We won't be daylighting Tanner Creek. We still want to make sure there's a connection from River District to the waterfront. It's a very important part of the plan. We also, in acquiring that building, recognize that this really represents some of the historic fabric of Portland's waterfront. Those of you who have seen it and walked through Centennial Mills will recognize it's an interesting, albeit challenging, preservation project. These are old growth timbers that it was built on it is kind of the definition of blight. In order to renovate it and preserve some of its historical features, we need to have a public-private partnership engaged in that effort. And what we have done successfully is used a nationwide RFP process to select a lab holding company to do that development with us. And it's going to leverage a lot of private money. It's going to provide a mixed-use project with a lot of housing, a lot of market-rate housing. And it's going to do it in such a way that it will really leverage public monies in a pretty fantastic way. The what also in that previous slide, if I can get it back, well, maybe not. Oh, there it is. Is the field. So there is quite a bit of work that still needs to be done in the district. And the fields is a park. And it's an important park because it really represents the north end of the River District. We'll talk a little more about what's in the west end and or the north end of the district, and it really is what the potential of the River District is in the original concept of the plan. The fields will provide another park that's much more oriented towards recreational opportunities for people in the Pearl and throughout the city. It needs to be connected to the redevelopment of Centennial Mills. What that should do is, in that north end, we have about 30 acres of underdeveloped parcels that should, this will actually spur a lot more private sector investment. So where you're seeing undone work, this is the primary area of undone work in the River District. moving forward. The next real challenge in River District that is an existing challenge, but it's a great opportunity, is the U.S. Postal Service site. 16 acres, prime real estate in the downtown area. Clearly, it's not a compatible use any longer for this now residential neighborhood. The U.S. Postal Service has signaled to us that they're willing to consider an alternative location for their operations and have entered into us a sales negotiation agreement so that we have an opportunity to negotiate a sales price and acquisition price for this parcel. The vision for this property is very big. It, as I said, 16 acres in the center of a downtown area probably doesn't exist in too many urban areas around the country. What this will allow us to do, and this will take some time because the Postal Service will be there for another 5-6 years, but as we look at options, the idea of having an employment-oriented campus there with many, many jobs, possibly combined with some additional housing for that workforce, is really an opportunity that few people would suggest that we miss. And here's a good segue now. So, and this is that North River District area. As you can see, a lot of underutilized property. Hopefully, we will be sparking that with the development of the fields and the Centennial Mills project. But here's where we're looking at moving things and recognizing that what we're doing is really re-looking at how the River District works, what can be added to the River District to make it work better, and to finish up some of the undone projects from the two older districts. This is the list. They're all outlined in the projects. We'll cover them in more detail later. But as you can see, it's a fairly funky looking map. But this map is very strategic in terms of the development opportunities and challenges that we have in the district. The Old Town Chinatown, that's the funkiest part of this map, was designed in collaboration with neighborhood stakeholders, both residents and business owners. And I think it was one of the best pieces of public involvement work that I've seen done in my career, actually, where people sat down, really got serious about what the highest priorities for the community were in a large sense, not just an individual stakeholder sense, but in a large sense. And what you see are the prime acres for which there are key opportunities for development that will actually convert Old Town Chinatown to a neighborhood on the cusp to a neighborhood in full renaissance. And this next slide will show you exactly why that is the case and why it's connected to River District. As you can see, Broadway Bridge comes over, and that's North Broadway there that divides, say, the U block from the post office, R block from the 511 building. 511 building and the post office are both in the existing River District. Everything west of that is currently in downtown Waterfront. Our goal here is to look at this in a holistic sense. This fits right into the Portland plan and the Central Portland plan process specifically. We have a chance to take a look at this acreage and really think about how we're gonna make the segue from the Pearl District to Old Town Chinatown in a way that's gonna generate a lot of energy and meet multiple purposes. I'm gonna flag for you now the Union Station. Union Station was acquired by the city some time ago. We see it as an optimal site for a multimodal transportation center. The problem is, and this is why it's such a wonderful building, but the problem is it's historic and the roof and the building needs extensive rehab. And we're just now getting to the stage of doing the cost estimates on it, but we're talking about tens of millions of dollars if you want to preserve this historic site for the long term and to make it into a useful facility for the community. When we do that, and we think that needs to occur, we need to look at it in the context of the U block. The U block has been identified as the future home of the Homeless Access Center. And this is the Resource Access Center that's going to be located there. At the same time, you have the Greyhound Station. What we really want to do is talk to that bus service and see if they can't relocate possibly into the Union Station as part of the multimodal transportation hub that we'd like to create there. But that's a huge parcel that's very underutilized for a downtown area. If we can look at those holistically and keep an eye to what the potential opportunities that are afforded by the U.S. Post Office, we have a real chance to create this segue between River District and Old Town Chinatown that works for everybody. And it is part of the balancing that we will have to struggle with throughout in terms of most of our homeless services for single adults are located in the Old Town, Chinatown area. That's not going to change. How do you create a business environment where the retail and business can thrive and we can get some mixed income housing in there as well and still not disrupt the ability to serve homeless people in the downtown area? So these are the projects that we'll be talking about, well, that this will make happen. The Union Station, we mentioned that. The Fairfield Hotel is another Section 8 housing project the city owns. PDC owns it on behalf of the city. It hasn't been rehabbed. It needs to be rehabbed. It's also a fairly expensive rehab, and we know how to do those, but if you do them too skinny, you don't get a very good product and it doesn't stay up very long. What we'd like to do is have a full rehab of that building and preserve it not only for the current residents, but hopefully residents into the future. The 10th and Yamhill Garage is a city-owned facility. It's kind of grown out of its useful age. It is not operating as we had hoped in terms of the retail. Ground floor retail is not performing as we would hope. This will give us an opportunity to redesign that facility, maintain the parking, rethink the retail on the ground floor usage, but also look at mixed use above, housing, possibly office space. So we have a real potential there. O'Brien Square was added to this effort at the request of a letter actually sent by the planning director, Gil Kelly, who said this is a critical location both in terms of parks and recreation opportunities, but also in terms of revitalizing that section of the retail core. It's an underutilized park now. It sits above a city-owned parking structure that is probably in its last years of usefulness. We don't have this in the budget, but it's been added because we know sometime in the future we'll be ready to move on that site. And here are the specific changes that the amendment will bring to you.
So in summary, we're looking at the following issues: extending the expiration date by 1 year to 2021, increasing the total maximum indebtedness by $324 million over the next 12 years, adding approximately 50 acres, about 40 of which Bob had just detailed, which are north of Burnside in the Old Town Chinatown area. And that would also include releasing about 8 acres underneath the I-405 right-of-way. The breakdown of those is included as follows. You'll see the key projects that we had just discussed in terms of redevelopment, the Centennial Mill and the Post Office project under infrastructure, talking about assistance to Multnomah County and the 10th and Yamhill parking garages, and business assistance, target industry development, and financial assistance programs, and housing. The Access Center is a critical one. So this is roughly the breakout of how that $324 million would be allocated over the life of the district. I might mention in answer to the previous question that it appears that you can see between project program staffing and administration and issuance and reserve costs that these come to about 17% compared to about 16% in the previous chart. So these two are roughly equivalent. Again, we'll get you specific information prior to next week's meeting.
So, and this is the financial impacts. They are substantial. They are substantial to all our taxing jurisdiction partners. We did do a round of conversations with all of these folks to let them know it was happening. We got basically the same response back. It hurts. We know we're losing some resources, but we also know that the urban renewal, history of urban renewal in our community is that you are building the tax base. We see that on the back end of all your districts. But more importantly, a lot of our overlapping missions actually get fulfilled with urban renewal activities. When we went and talked to the port, which had been a neighbor in the Old Town Chinatown, first they recognized that Old Town Chinatown needs more work, obviously. They were also very excited and extended and have been very helpful in terms of the conversations with the U.S. Postal Service. They'd love to see that service move out to the airport area. And they want to see that as a major employment site. Metro has been very supportive. It's not a huge impact to them. They were very frank that money it wasn't a significant matter consideration for them. But the interesting thing they said was, one, the importance of the downtown development is high concentration of people, good transit, everything that Metro stands for is being represented in the downtown area, and the more we can keep that a healthy environment, the better for them. The other thing is, and this is interesting side note, was that they encouraged us to continue to work with the school districts, because as we look at opportunities to partner with schools, the Metro CEO, Michael Jordan, said it's time that we also help them have conversations among themselves about joint use of facilities. And I think some of that conversation will come go forward as we have conversations with individual districts.
Is there a reason that Portland Public School District isn't listed?
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
And there's a memo, and I'm hoping that it was just, if we have a, no, sorry. There's a memo. Staff at PDC sat down with Portland Public School staff it probably took us 2 months to work this out. The conventional wisdom has been, well, there really isn't an impact to schools because the state school funding formula basically creates a wash. We went into that discussion with that approach. The school district, and this is Portland Public. Oh, excellent.
David, could you give those to the city?
The Portland Public School District was very clear that that wasn't the end of the story, and they made the case, and persuasively so, that their local option levy is impacted, and that they have something called the State Gap Fund, and it's a state legislative authorized fund that allows a local levy basically to be imposed for schools. That helps equalize the extra challenges Portland Public Schools has with their caseload or class load. The cumulative impact of that is about $5 million a year. That's both Lentz and this River District change, and like $30 million, I believe, $30 to $35 million cumulatively. So it's a significant impact. The impact of these amendments, one could argue, wouldn't have that impact because the local options expire before these amendments kick in terms of taking money out of the school district. But this, again, in conversation with the school district, we were able to recognize and agree that if those local option levies aren't renewed, the school has an even bigger problem in which any kind of lost revenues is even more significant. So this memo is the result of those conversations. And I think it was helpful to PDC to understand the full impact its urban renewal areas have on the districts, on the school districts. And it applies mostly to Portland Public because a vast majority of our work is done in Portland Public Schools. But we have similar relationships with the other school districts. David Douglas, in particular, because of the Lentz, they will also see some offset in revenues. They don't have a local option levy. That's one of the challenges that they have, nor does the gap fund apply to David Douglas School.
Okay. So I realize we have representatives from Portland Public here, so I guess the agreed-upon foregone revenues is a present value of $35 million, roughly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have David and speak to that.
So that concludes the kind of formal presentation. We now have embedded witnesses who have been very close participants in this discussion.
Please, I'm going to be listening from Patricia Gardner, Patrick Gortmaker, John Oliver, Sam Chase, and David Lang. The first three folks, please state your name when you speak.
Patricia Gardner, Pearl District Neighborhood Association, honored commissioners and mayor. To many people, the concept of the expansion of the River District Urban Renewal District began with Janice Wilson's committee, a joint committee that basically said, let's look at that. To the Pearl District and to Old Town Chinatown, it actually begins in the early 90s with the original River District plan. In that plan, the River District was to stretch from the river to I-405. It was both the Pearl District and it was Old Town Chinatown. The original vision of the River District was a complete community, a mixed-use, mixed-income neighborhood on empty land blighted from the rail yards and on land blighted from economic malaise. One of the goals was to help, the goals of the original River District plan was to help the city of Portland meet the 2040 vision of Metro to keep sprawl from our region. The expansion of this urban renewal district, the River District Urban Renewal District, into Old Town Chinatown and the expansion of capacity allows us to complete that vision. Without the money from Urban Renewal District, this vision is not possible. If we had not had an urban renewal district, we would not have 5,000 people living in the Pearl District. We would not have that number. And moreover, we would not have the mixed income that we do, which a lot of people don't see on the surface because we do a really good job building our buildings. We would not be where we are, and we would not be where we could go. The Urban Renewal District has allowed the beginnings of a great community, but we are not done yet. North of Pettigrove, there are acres and acres of blighted land in the exact same state as when the district was formed. It is still a brownfield. It is still empty. In the Pearl District alone, there are over 30 acres of land that still wait to be turned into jobs and into homes for all incomes and all types of families. We have the post office, which is waiting to bring not hundreds of jobs, but thousands of jobs to Portland. Not only are there opportunities on the blighted land of the Pearl, but there are huge opportunities in Old Town Chinatown. By doing the expansion, we can finally bring the Pearl and the Old Town and Old Town Chinatown together. Only with the expansion of the urban renewal area can we fulfill the policies of Metro by putting as many people, as many different types of people, both living and working in the heart of the city. Only with the expansion of the urban renewal area can we fulfill the original River District vision. We urge you to complete that. Thank you very much.
Patrick Gortmaker, co-chair of the Joint Land Use Committee for the Old Town Chinatown Visions Committee and the Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak with you this morning. As Patty indicated, our two districts, the Pearl District and the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood, 4 years ago began talking about this. And as we discussed how to make our districts joined together, more contiguous, we also looked at the opportunities that continued to present themselves in Old Town Chinatown and ensure that we realized the growth and potential that we had with our properties in Old Town Chinatown. We'd like to take credit for this idea, but Patty indicated that it really started in 2004, known as the Janice Wilson Report, in which she directly the conclusions were that more resources at that time remaining in downtown waterfront be directed towards Old Town Chinatown redevelopment and opportunities, and also start the analysis of what could be annexed from Old Town Chinatown into the River District. The tools of tax increment financing in Old Town Chinatown have been instrumental to our successes. The affordable housing that we have developed over the last 10 years in Old Town Chinatown has been extraordinary. 70% of our current housing inventory is at 50% and below. In fact, I think Richard Harris submitted a letter to you all this morning talking about those successes and Central City Concern successes of developing over 860 units of affordable housing. Combined with that, enhancing the infrastructure of our community-based organizations and social services to ensure that they can continue to provide the services of individuals who seek those services. And the relationship between those services and housing has been extraordinary in Old Town Chinatown. And then, of course, in the last year and a half, our successes with the University of Oregon opening at the White Stag Blocks, the groundbreaking for the Mercy Corps headquarters, and now with the amendment to extend the downtown waterfront, the additional resources to ensure that we complete the move for Portland Saturday Market into the waterfront, and of course finish the improvements along Ankeny and underneath the Burnside Bridge.
So despite these successes, though, Old Town Chinatown is still at risk and still needs resources in the form of tax increment financing. 130-plus acres are in Old Town Chinatown. We have a proposal now for annexation of 40 acres, those sites that we feel offer the best opportunity for increment development. We have two nationally registered historic districts with many underdeveloped, unoccupied resources. Ensuring continued tax increment resources for seismic loans, storefront grants, and economic development tools for quality jobs will help ensure those buildings are redeveloped and occupied. We need to tip the balance of housing. We've done the 50% and below. We aspire for the 50% to 150% in our district by developing more workforce housing and home ownership opportunities. We will reach that housing goal. We also want to ensure that the barriers are continued to be looked at and broken down in and out of the district. That's why the Burnside-Cooch couplet remains a high priority for our district, breaking down those barriers for better access into and out of the district. So with all these remaining goals and opportunities in Old Town Chinatown, it's imperative that these amendments before you today move forward and that Old Town Chinatown can realize its potential, its renaissance, and become a jewel for this city to live, work, and play. Thank you.
Good morning. I think it's still morning. My name is Jan Oliver. I'm the Associate Vice President for Institutional Affairs at the University of Oregon. You know, the university was and is very excited about our move into Old Town Chinatown. But we know now that with everything that's happened, much, much more work remains to be done. We selected the site because of its historic roots in what is truly an extraordinary community. And it was also the university's desire to have that kind of connection with our neighborhood, wherever we were sited. And this is a prime place to do good neighborhood connections. The U of O wants to be part of this historic neighborhood, and it was not, we were not deterred by its somewhat spotty history. In fact, we embrace the history and the diversity that exists in Old Town Chinatown. We want to be a contributing partner in the neighborhood's emerging changes, what Bob Durston calls the renaissance of Old Town Chinatown. And I don't use that word lightly. It's a renaissance that needs to balance the new economic investments with the needs of the existing social service agencies, which have traditionally served some of our community's most economically disadvantaged citizens. The proposed closeout of downtown Waterfront includes several key projects in the Ankeny Plaza, Burnside Bridge area that are important to the U of O, but much more work remains to be done. While closing downtown Waterfront makes sense, additional investments from the River District are critical to capitalize on the existing urban renewal investments and the momentum that has begun with significant commitments from the University of Oregon, Mercy Corps, and a variety of private sector property owners. Done correctly, additional investments in the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood will pay substantial dividends, building a stronger neighborhood for current and future residents of all economic status. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Is Sam Chase here?
He's not.
Pardon?
He is not.
Okay.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. Sounds nice to say that, doesn't it, Nick? My name is David Wind. I'm a member of the Portland School Board. I'm here to speak on behalf of the board and the Portland Public School District. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My comments really cover the array of the urban renewal issues that you're discussing today, and I'm just going to speak the ones. Having sat on your side of the podium, I know it's better to have somebody speak once rather than come back multiple times. Polton Public Schools supports the concept of urban renewal and tax increment financing. We see these, as you do, as tools to revitalize business districts, industrial areas, and our city neighborhoods. We appreciate that 50 years of such investment has profoundly shaped our city for the better. Urban renewal funding can be a direct boon to schools as well. Investments in family housing, safe routes to school, parks and recreation, not to mention family wage jobs, can create healthy neighborhoods supporting and surrounding our schools. Like you, we believe urban renewal dollars can be the catalyst for improvements that will benefit our neighborhoods, businesses, schools, and citizens for decades to come. At the same time, urban renewal also involves direct costs to Portland Public Schools. I'm going to talk today specifically about direct costs. Public finance is a morass when you try and explain it. Obviously, the foregone property taxes that are involved in urban renewal, there's really, from our point of view, there's two components to that. There's the indirect impact on us of the general property tax levy that goes as part of the state school fund. And that impact is not as significant for us, and I'm not going to talk about that today. But as you heard earlier, there are two streams of funding that provide a direct impact to Portland Public Schools each year on the basis of the foregone property taxes. And those have to do with our local option and gap funding revenues that would otherwise be generated in the 10 urban renewal areas that lie entirely or primarily within the school district boundaries. And as that memorandum that you've seen earlier establishes for you, that net cost to Portland Public Schools for urban renewal activity is $5 million a year. The urban renewal expansions before you now will bring an additional fiscal impact, which results in about $2.7, $2.8 million a year. The net present value between 2014 and 2027 of that aggregate is about $35 million, and almost $2 million of that impact comes from the David Douglas Satellite District alone. I also want to communicate to you how much Portland Public Schools appreciates the growing relationship that we have with the city and city agencies and the growing spirit of collaboration between those. In the 5 years I've been on the school board, I've come before the City Council at least three times to acknowledge specific operating agreements and ways in which our two jurisdictions are working more closely together. And we also are in the process of finalizing an intergovernmental agreement with Portland Development Commission to cement and establish more close working relationships with them, which will give us a seat at the table as the city expands and considers these urban renewal areas. Specifically, PPS will be joining advisory committees on the River District and Lentz Town Center expansions, as well as joining the preliminary discussions about a potential new urban renewal area in the west side of downtown Portland. These conversations over the last few months have forged a stronger relationship between PPS and the Portland Development Commission, and we hope that this cooperative agreement not only ensures that we have a seat at the table, but also opens the door for all school districts affected by urban renewal to be part of the conversation for areas that impact them. And we certainly appreciate the willingness of PDC to engage in those conversations. We also appreciate the support that this City Council has continuously shown for public education in this city, both in the Portland School District and the other districts in the city. Commissioner Leonard was quoted this morning as saying that true economic development means giving citizens the best education possible, and certainly in my experience, that has been the approach that you all have taken consistently. We plan this cooperative relationship that I just talked about, it works both ways. In addition to us getting a seat at the table as PDC is looking at the work that they plan on doing, we as a school district have committed in principle to substantial reinvestment in the capital facilities of the school district over the next several decades to rebuild and remodel schools which have been seriously underinvested in over time. We see this as an economic development imperative for the city, and as we engage in that work, we will be sharing our plans and discussing our plans with PDC, with the city agencies and others in order to see that we can coordinate those plans as effectively as possible. We saw the benefits at Rosa Parks School of having everybody at the table working together, and we hope that we can follow the example established there as we look at the other schools that we're going to be investing in the years to come. The school district's across the state face a number of challenges. In the city of Portland in particular, there are challenges that we face. They're not necessarily all identical challenges. You've heard us talk before about the impact of enrollment on the operating budgets of school districts. In Portland, because of the declining enrollment in the district, our operating budget has been particularly squeezed. I'm not for a moment going to imply that any of the other school districts in the city have any kind of luxurious operating budget, but to the extent that their enrollment has been increasing, that does mitigate some of the operating budget crunch that they face. On the other hand, they're faced with serious capital challenges and the ability to raise capital, and we recognize that. We appreciate the support of the city in confronting these real challenges, both operating and capital budget challenges. The Portland School Board supports the major expansion of the RISA district and the Lenstown Center urban renewal areas. Because of the fiscal impact on our schools and the unresolved legal questions, we do not support the movement forward on the satellite district at this time. We've shared our reservations about this proposal with the City Council before and confirmed to PDC last month that we do not support that proposal. We recognize that there is a real problem there. Our concern is that the solution being proposed is not the appropriate one to that problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Doug Oblitz from Sockeye Development, who's doing a major catalytic project with the Wajimaya retail outlet in Old Town Chinatown, did submit a letter, and we'll distribute it. Also, there are two groups that have contacted the council in opposition to these amendments. One is the League of Women Voters, and another is an informal group led by Jeff Tashman. We might suggest that you take testimony from them as the next step.
Hey, have they signed up to testifying?
They had signed up, but Commissioner Fish had suggested
that. And that's fine. I just want to make sure that they were signed up. Okay, Commissioner Fish indicates that he has a few questions before we move to the testimony.
Could I ask also legal counsel?
Could you turn your
David?
Did you want the city legal counsel or just PDC?
First, just a comment, Bob. The piece of this that obviously is very near and dear to my heart as the new housing commissioner is the preservation piece. And just to frame that issue, there are 11 so-called expiring use properties in the city of Portland, which between now and 2014 are at risk. And they generally are places where older adults living on very little incomes are housed. And a key part of our preservation strategy, consistent with our no net loss strategy, is to preserve the ones in downtown. So to the extent we're carving out the $18 or $19 million for that particular use, it's a critical part of our overall housing strategy. And I just want to underscore the importance to our overall agenda of that point. I took a moment to look at the letter that Commissioner Kogan and Chair Wheeler submitted. And, you know, I'm one of the few lawyers to ever serve on this body, and perhaps the general consensus would be thank God for that. But just so that I understand the issues that they've raised and make sure the record's complete, I wanted to ask counsel just to engage in a colloquy on something, because with respect to the two buildings that they would like included, I've gone back to the statute, and it's ORS Chapter 457 that lays out the urban renewal guidelines. And 457.0101 defines a blighted area. And I take it that the determination has been made that the two buildings and the projects that we're including would qualify under the blighted area definition.
We believe that there's sufficient basis to conclude that those are blighted. Ultimately, that's a finding that you'll make when you adopt the ordinance, but we believe there's sufficient information in the report that's been supplied to you and the other testimony and other portions of the record to support that finding. Yes.
And that would include the condition of the building and the need for rehabilitation. Just to help me as we go through this, the definition of blighted area under the statute would be applied the same way to a larger geographic area as it would be to a single site. Is that correct?
That's correct, though historically, when urban renewal areas are formed, I don't think there has ever been a conclusion that every single property within the area has to be found to be blighted. So if there's a large geographic area, we wouldn't think you would need to find every parcel blighted. To the extent that the area is somewhat smaller, and in this case some are, I think we've looked quite specifically at individual properties to make the blight findings.
Okay, thank you. And the other legal issue has to do with the PDC's authority under 457.170. And I was looking there just for guidance on this question, and